Well, it's once again good to see everybody tonight. Good to have our visitors with us. We appreciate y'all coming and hope everybody will just open our hearts and our minds to God's word that he might speak to us tonight. Let me mention singing school. This will be next week. Mountaindale is going to have singing school August 29th through September the 2nd. It doesn't say what time. 7 o'clock. Okay, they're going to start at 7 o'clock. Brother David Armistead's going to be the teacher over there. And so that might be something that you're interested in. Singing schools are really a lot of fun. If you've never been to one, they are really, I've enjoyed every one I've been to. So I guess that'd be a good way to put it. August 29th. What is that? Is that Sunday or Monday? It starts Sunday night, so they won't be able to come to the Sunday night, and then remember this coming Sunday night, fifth Sunday night fellowship meeting at 7 o'clock. So if you invite anybody, don't tell them to come at 6. I know we always meet at 6 on Sunday nights, but when they do this, and this first time that I've ever hosted it, I guess that'd be a good way to put it, but they always do it at 7 o'clock. So this Sunday night at 7 o'clock, and I'm really looking forward to it. I've heard a lot of good things about the preacher, Brother Tommy Wirth, so let's pray that we just have a good service and the Lord would meet with us. And then next week the singing school is going on as well, and so let's remember that. And turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. I'm going to give you tonight the only thing I've got. Which is the message I was going to preach Sunday, but I didn't get to. And we run out of time there. And but I had some things I was looking at this morning. I took my Bible to work, and I had been studying on a couple of different things, but one thing led to another, and I didn't even get to crack my Bible once I got there. And some we have been having nothing to do, so I've had plenty of time to study. And but it just didn't work out that way today. And I was praying about it. I said, Lord, what the deal is. You might as well just be honest with the Lord when you talk to him, because he knows what the deal is. And so I began to pray about it, and I got to looking again. So you just pray for me tonight. I don't know if I'll preach. I don't know if I'll teach. I don't know how to work out. But just pray the Lord would help me tonight. And this is really something that is sort of, I guess what you call teachy anyway, because there's some things. We're going to look at some different scripture and some things in the message I want to share with you tonight that we need to take some time and look at. You fly past things sometimes and miss a great blessing. So I'll try to be as informative as I can tonight. I want to preach out of this passage of scripture, teach out of this passage of scripture. However it comes out, it'll be all right. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, let's read verses 8 through 10. The Bible says there, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life." Now you can tell from that verse, he's got problems. He's got a lot of problems. He says there, it talks about our trouble in the first part of verse number 8. He said that we were pressed out of measure there. That's burden. That's a lot of pressure in one's life. Above strength. You ever got the place where you, I just can't take it anymore. I can't stand it anymore. I can't put up with it anymore. This is more than I can stand, he's saying. Insomuch that we despaired even of life. He said, God, I don't even think I'm going to make it. That's what he's saying in these verses. And then he said in verse 9, "But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us." And that's what I want to try to focus on tonight is verse number 10. I want to take the time tonight and just preach a little while on the subject of deliverance. You ever come to a place in your life where you just had, God, you've got to do something. You've got to help us, deliver us. He talks about being delivered here in verse number 10. And Paul is writing, and as I've already said, talks about the trouble. And if we were to take the time to go back in chapter number 1, he talks about how that God had comforted him. In fact, I've used this passage of Scripture in several different funerals down through the years in verse number 3, where he talks about in the last part of the verse, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort in verse 4, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. You know one thing about this Christian life, we can go to somebody and we can say, I'm praying for you. But you can't always go to somebody and say, I know what you're going through. You just can't do that unless you've went through it. Now, if you've went through something, you can go to somebody and say, I'm praying for you. I know what you're going through. That means a whole lot. It doesn't really mean as much. Now, you appreciate it. But when you meet somebody that's going through the same thing that you're going through, and they say, I know what you're going through, there's comfort in that. And you can be a comfort to somebody else. A lot of times God lets you go through something just so you'll be able to be a blessing and a help to somebody else. And you can come along and say, you can come along and say, not just I'm praying for you, but you can come along and say, I'm praying for you. I know what you're going through. God helped me when I was going through it, and he'll help you as you go through it as well. And that's what Paul's talking about. He's reminding him. He's saying, I've been through some things, and I've been through some tribulation. I've been through some trouble. I've been through some heartache in my life, and God comforted me. He comforts us in all of our tribulation. See what it says in verse 4? That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. He's saying, I've been through some things. God's helped me, and God will help you as well. He comforts us in all of our trouble. And Paul talks about these things. But here in verse number 10, there is a wonderful truth concerning the subject of deliverance. He said, who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Now, what got me thinking about this message is what I said two Sundays ago when I was preaching, and I come across something and I just said it. I didn't have it written down in my notes, and I did not think about saying it before I got up here preaching. But when I was preaching, I said something along these lines. I said I said he has saved me, he is saving me, and he will save me. So if you're saved, you can't be any saveder. Remember me saying that? And I got thinking about that. If you didn't know what I was talking about, you might think that I was some way inferring that we are working for our salvation, but that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about when I say that is what this verse is saying in verse number 10. Now, I'm going to say again what I said. I said, he saved me, he is saving me, and he will save me. So if you're saved, you can't be any saveder than you are right now. But that what I was talking about is this truth that is found in verse number 10. And notice how the subject of deliverance is dealt with in three different aspects of past, present, and future. Look in verse number 10. Who delivered us from so great a death? That's past. That's what he's done for us. And doth deliver. That's present. Right now, he's delivering you and I. I'm going to show you what I'm talking about. In whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. That's future. Past, present, and future deliverance. We are saved, we are being saved, and we are going to be saved. It's what this passage of Scripture is talking about. But I will show you tonight what that means. First of all, there is deliverance from the penalty of sin. That's what Paul is talking about here in verse number 10. Who delivered us from so great a death? Tonight, if you are saved by the grace of God, you have been delivered from the penalty of sin. And the first thing in order to be saved that you must realize that, first of all, that you, in order to be saved, that you are a sinner. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's every one of us. In fact, if you are talking to somebody about being saved, you need to stress to them that the reason they need to be saved is because they have sinned. And we've all sinned. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every person, no matter who, no matter what their station in life. I think sometimes that some people think that preachers don't sin. But preachers sin, made out of the same stuff. Preachers sin. Grandma, as angelic as she is or as she was, she sinned and does sin. Now, we all sin. Sometimes children think grandparents never done anything wrong. And so as you get older, you learn how to fool them, you know, and everything. But we've all sinned. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, for the wages of sin is death. We all die. That's proof in the fact of sin that we all die. And not just die. But if we die without the Lord Jesus Christ, we die the most horrible death that there is. That's a death without Him and a death that ends in eternal punishment. I'm going to read from Revelation chapter number 20. Notice what Paul says here in verse number 10, who delivered us from so great a death. That's more than just dying. He's delivered us from more than just dying tonight. He's delivered us from so great a death. See, the Bible talks about it in Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 14. The Bible says over there, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. To be delivered from so great a death is not only to be delivered from dying, but it's being delivered from dying and going to hell, and it's being delivered from dying and going to hell, and later on being cast into the lake of fire, which burneth forever and ever. The smoke ascends up day and night forever and ever, and there is no rest. We've been delivered from that if you're saved. And so that's what Paul is talking about. If it was just dying, if it was just like some say, you just die and you're like a dog and you're dead and that's it and there's no heaven, no hell or anything, well, that wouldn't be so bad, would it? But that's not what comes after death. If somebody's lost without the Lord Jesus Christ, they will die a great death. They will die and go to hell. And hell is just a temporary holding place. Later on, according to Revelation chapter number 20, death and hell are cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. Now, I know sometimes preachers preach and they talk about hell and the lake of fire and get all these things mixed up, muddled together. But specifically, hell is temporary. The lake of fire is forever and ever and ever. And one day in the end, God will take all those who have died and gone to hell, and they will be cast in the lake of fire forever and ever, and there is no end whatsoever in that. So we, what are we saved from tonight? If you are saved by the grace of God, you have been delivered from the penalty of sin. You never have to worry when you lay down at night about dying and going to hell no more. Because you've been delivered. But He delivered us. Now, I want to pause just a little bit here. Who delivered us from so great a death? He not only delivered us from so great a death. We think about most of the time, just when we talk about us, we just think about us. Me, my four, no more. Or me and my three and no more. However many you've got. You know, we think about us. But it's not just us. It's not just us, New Testament Christians. This also refers to the Old Testament saints. Now, I want to show you something tonight. When Jesus died upon Calvary, He not only done something great for us, but He did something great for them as well. You remember when Jesus died upon the cross and He said to the one of the thieves, the one that repented of his sin, He said to him, He said in Luke 23 and verse 43, He said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Now there's a truth there I want to show you something about tonight. He didn't say, today thou shalt be with me in heaven. He said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And I know I've heard Preacher Carl preach on this before, and I'm sure you've heard him preach on it before, but I want to go back over what happened when Jesus died upon the cross. You see, before Calvary, before Jesus died upon the cross, the Old Testament saints did not go to heaven when they died. They went to this place called paradise. And paradise at that time was in the heart of the earth. You remember in Luke chapter number 16, the Bible said, and a certain rich man died, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and he seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus comforted in his bosom. Do you know where Abraham and Lazarus was? They were not in heaven, they were in paradise. And Jesus said to the rich man in hell, who only wanted a drip of water to cool his tongue, he said, for I am tormented in this flame. And Abraham said to him, he said, they that are thence cannot pass, you know, I'll get mixed up if I try to quote that. Basically what he said is, we can't come to you and you can't come to us, because there is a great gulf fixed between us. The Old Testament saints were on one side of paradise, and it was called paradise, and hell was on the other side. There was a great gulf fixed. We know what a gulf is. It'd be like an ocean with no water in it. It'd be like going to the Grand Canyon and you just can't get from one side to the other. There's a great gulf. There's a great expanse. There's no traveling back and forth. There's no bridge. There's no boat. There's no way to travel between the two. And the Old Testament saints went to paradise. And the reason they went to paradise, they could not go to heaven, because the tabernacle in heaven had not yet been purified. Now, if you're more interested in that, go to Hebrews chapter number 9 and read the whole chapter through several times real slow. And what you'll find in Hebrews chapter number 9 is the truth that there was a earthly tabernacle. There was an earthly tabernacle. You remember the Jews and Moses and all the sacrifices, and Moses made the tabernacle, and they had the high priest would come once a year on the Day of Atonement, and he'd take the blood into the Holy of Holies, and he would make atonement for the children of Israel. And that was the religion of the Old Testament Jews, and they were trusting in that blood of that lamb, which is a picture of the lamb that would one day come. There was an earthly tabernacle. But that chapter also explains that there is a heavenly tabernacle. And the earthly tabernacle was just a type or a pattern of the true tabernacle that's in heaven. And so what God did to the children of Israel, he gave them a picture of what was in heaven. And he gave them the tabernacle and what needed to be done. But there was a heavenly tabernacle. Look over in Ephesians chapter number 4 and verses 8 through 10. And so those Old Testament saints, although they were saved, they couldn't go to heaven. So they went to paradise. But when Jesus died upon Calvary, first he went to paradise. He told the thief upon the cross, he said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And when Jesus died upon the cross, he went to the place called paradise. Ephesians chapter number 4 and verse number 8. It said, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Well, that's what he's talking about there, is what happened when he went to paradise and then he went to heaven. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now there is a parenthesis in verses 9 and 10, and that's called a parenthetical section. You remember when you're in school and you're reading a paragraph and the parentheses, that's there to explain something. So verse number 8 says, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Captivity was in paradise, and they couldn't get out of paradise until somebody came and delivered them from paradise. And then it explains in verse 9 and 10. Now he that ascended, what is it, but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. That fill all things means that he might fulfill all things. He went down into the heart of the earth and led captivity captive, that he might fulfill all things, all scriptures. So when Jesus died upon the cross, he went down into the place called paradise where all those Old Testament saints were at. The Bible said in 1 Peter 3:18, it says, talking about Jesus being resurrected, it said, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. He went down to paradise and preached to those people there. When he died upon the cross, here's another verse. Hebrews 11:39, the Bible said, and these all, Hebrews chapter 11 is the hall of fame of faith. And it's talking about all those Old Testament saints and how great they were and how they had faith in God. And it said, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. You know what that means? They obtained a good report through faith. They believed, they were saved by faith just like you and I are, but they received not the promise. When they died, they didn't die and go to heaven. They died and went to paradise. Adam, Abel, Noah, Moses, David, Gideon, Hannah, Esther, Daniel, all those Old Testament saints. Abraham, you remember what it said about Abraham? He looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. When he was here upon earth, he set out and God told him where to go, but he didn't tell him. He told him to go, but he didn't tell him where to go. And all his life, he was looking for that city where God was. When he died, he still hadn't found it. And when he died, he went to paradise. He still had not got into the very presence of God. But you know what? There was a day. There was a day when this nobody entered in through the portals in paradise. And I don't know exactly how it would have been, but I think maybe when the thief on the cross died and went down there to paradise, maybe he said, hey, can I have your attention? I'm a nobody. And I know there's a lot of people down here, but I'm telling you, there's somebody getting ready to come, and I think you might want to see him. Because Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And when they went, you know what I'm talking about. They came, and Jesus went to paradise, the Bible says. And they had a 3-day camp meeting down there where every message, the Bible said he went and preached captivity to the captives, doesn't it? I believe every message that they preached down there had to do with the blood. And every song that they sang had to do with the blood, because the one they'd been looking for. Can you imagine Adam and all those at least 3,000 years? And Abraham and all of them, and Isaiah, who preached about the one by whose stripes we are healed, and boy, preached about the one that would come, and the Messiah, and all these things, and the one that would be born of a virgin. Why? They seen him with their own eyes. Got to look upon him and have that time. Buddy, you talk about, man, I'd like to have been in that meeting. The Bible said, he said, preach captivity to the captives. Sure, it was paradise and it was great, but God wasn't there. But then all of a sudden, God came there. Jesus Christ, the Messiah, who had shed his blood, and he preached to them. In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 12, that's the verse, the chapter I was telling you need to read 2 or 3 times real slow. It says, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. At the end of that 3 days, Jesus Christ went to heaven where the true tabernacle was with his own blood. And that was a fulfillment of all those Old Testament sacrifices when the Passover had went by and they took the blood and put it on the doorpost and in the basin, and all the blood that had been on that tabernacle there. He took his own blood.
And he had a whole army of saints with him when he went. And boy, he made that sacrifice. And don't you know, that's a happy day in heaven. He not only obtained deliverance for us, who hath delivered us from so great a death. You think about all them Old Testament saints.
How they finally got out of prison. How they finally got out of paradise. And they finally got to go to heaven. He's obtained eternal redemption for us. Romans 5 and 8 says, But God, who commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Thank God you'll never have to die. Worry about dying and going to hell. Worry about a lot of things. But you do not have to worry about dying and going to hell. Because he's delivered us from, what's the Bible say there, back in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, from so great a death, the Bible says. I like that song, I think the primitives sing it. The only fire I'll ever feel is burning in my heart. I don't worry about dying and going to hell. I did one time. Thank God I did. Boy, I believe there's a lot of people in this world that's got religion. But they've never been convicted by the Holy Ghost. They've never worried about dying and going to hell. I'm glad he convicted me, that I knew when I was a little boy that I was going to die and go to hell. And I wasn't that bad as far as bad goes, but I was bad enough to die and go to hell. And he showed me I was a sinner and I needed to be saved. And he had paid the price for my penalty and he'd made the way for me to be saved. I've been delivered, you've been delivered, you are saved from the penalty of sin. But I look on down and I see something else good. There's deliverance from the power of sin. We are delivered, past tense, from the penalty of sin. Now I'm not saying if you go out here and you drink and drive and you wreck and kill somebody, you'll pay for that. You'll pay for that in the flesh. But if you're saved, you won't go to hell for that. Because you're saved. You might die ashamed. You might die not in fellowship with the Lord. I mean, there's a lot of ways we reap what we sow in this life. But if you are saved, you are a child of God. And you're saved from the penalty of sin. There's also, and I'm thankful for this, there's deliverance from the power of sin. The Bible said, who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver. I like that. He does deliver. He has the power to deliver us. Many times we go undelivered, but it's not because he's not able. Tell you one of my favorite verses in the Bible is 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. It says, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape. I've dealt with a lot of people down through the years that had a lot of problems. And most of them that are honest will say, I'll tell you what, preacher, nobody made me drink. I done it. Nobody made me do drugs. I made that choice. Nobody made me go out here and be unfaithful to my family. I made that choice. I went down that road. Don't tell me God won't make a way to escape. He says that he will. He does deliver us. He doth deliver us. That's right now. He has made, according to his word, a way to escape. And that way to escape is Calvary. Because of Calvary and because of the blood and because of the resurrection, we can claim that song we sing so many times, victory in Jesus. We do have victory in our Lord Jesus Christ. He has provided that. Romans chapter 6 verse 14 says, for sin shall not have dominion over you. That means that Flip Wilson lied when he said the devil made me do it. The devil didn't make you do anything. You done it of your own free will. God gave you a free will. The devil didn't make you do it. You done it because you wanted to. Not because you had to. But oh, how many times we do not avail ourselves of the deliverance by and through the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word and the strength that we draw from Him. Many times we fail, we give into the flesh, we do not take the high road, you might say, and go to Calvary and get on our knees and plead the blood. We just fail, but we fail. He doesn't fail. There's deliverance today, but it's not through psychology and effort and doctors and pills and programs and drugs and all of these other things. There's deliverance by and through the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. He's the only way. He's the only way, and His grace is sufficient. I love to study about Mark chapter 5 and the woman that had an issue of blood. She had an issue of blood. She had a problem. She had a problem. It went on for 12 years. And the Bible says that she had spent all that she had. She'd been to every doctor. She'd dialed every number. She'd tried every kooky thing there ever was to rub on, put on, try this, try that. Grandma said, and Aunt so-and-so said, try this. She'd tried everything. And she ended up broke with nothing. But a problem. The Bible said she had an issue of blood. And I was studying about that and I thought about that. How many of us have issues? Boy, we've all. Wouldn't that be a good message? You got an issue? You got a problem? You got something that just keeps coming out and coming out and coming out and you can't get it stopped? That's what an issue is. An issue of flowing forth. There's a problem of sin in me and I can't get rid of it. That's what that's a type of. Do you know what that woman came to the conclusion? She seen something in the Lord Jesus Christ. And she fought the throng of people, all those people out there. And she made her way through and she waded her way through and she pushed her way through. All at the risk of embarrassing herself. Why? She knew there was virtue in Him. She knew if she could just touch the hem of His garment that everything would be all right. And she got just close enough and brushed her hand across it. And the Bible said she knew. She knew. And the Bible said that Jesus knew that virtue had gone out of Him. And He turned and He stopped and He said, "Who touched me?" And the disciples said, "Lord, what do you mean who touched you? There's 1,000 people around here. Everybody's touched you." But there was one touched Him with faith. And He said, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole." Praise God. You say, "I've got an issue and I can't get it stopped." Oh, if you just get real close to Him, if you just touch Him, if you get close enough one time, you'd find out. People say, "Preacher, I got these problems." I'll tell you what it is, 99% of the time people don't want to get rid of their problems. They want to go on in sin. If you're going to touch Him, that's right. You're going to have to forsake some things. You got to get to the end of your rope and fall off. A lot of people get to the end and hang on. Just fall off. Be better if you could just touch Him. There's deliverance in Him. He doth deliver. He doth deliver. There's too many people got saved by the grace of God and can stand up and testify and say, "Preacher, He delivered me. I never went back. I never touched it again. He took it away from me. Thank God. Thank God. And He's helped me. And I've had problems. I do have problems. But I'm glad He delivers. He doth deliver." You say, "But I just can't." That's right, you can't. That's a good place to come to. I can't. But He can. He can. Just get that place. Just make up your mind. I can't. But He can. There's deliverance from the power of sin. Sin shall not have dominion over you, is what the Word of God says. And finally tonight, there is finally deliverance from the presence of sin. Deliverance from the penalty, deliverance from the power, and deliverance from the presence of sin. That's what it says in verse number 10. In whom we trust. Now this isn't happened yet. That's what Paul's saying. but in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Hadn't happened yet. One of these days, I am going to be delivered from the very presence of sin itself. Oh, what a day. Hebrews 10:37, one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible, said, "For yet a little while, and he that shall come and will not tarry." Just a little while, he's going to come. And the Lord's not tarrying his coming. He's not putting it off. He's not saying, "Oh, I'll put it off, you know, things might work out and get a little better." No, 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 no. On God's calendar, on his personal day planner, and one day with the Lord says 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. And the Lord Jesus even said that no man knows, not even the Son, not even the angels in heaven. But on God's calendar, this ought to comfort you tonight. There is a day. It's marked down. And I heard a preacher a while back, he said, "I believe the trumpet is out of the case." You know what I'm talking about? I believe the trumpet's out of the case. There's a day on God's calendar. He is going to come and he will not tarry, the word of God says. And John saw it. If anybody has seen it and got the big picture, John did. I'm talking about John the Revelator. He saw all of it. He saw everything. He saw Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, which was an outline of future church history. And it started with the church at Ephesus and the apostolic church, and they were fundamental and they were faithful and they were great. But he saw the ups and the downs, the rivers and the valleys. He saw the Philadelphia. He saw the church at Sardis and the persecution. He saw the dark ages. He saw the church at Philadelphia and the time of great revival. And he saw the Laodicean church. And that crowd was so backslid that the Lord Jesus Christ wasn't even allowed in his own church. But they thought they were fine. They said, "We're rich and increased with goods and have nothing." And he said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." He's knocking at the door of his own church, and nobody even let him in. John saw the brightest, and John saw the darkest. And he saw all of these things. And he experienced and he saw all that the church would go through. And he saw the very last days, which are the days that I believe we're living in, where people are cold and carnal and Christ is on the outside. And Revelation chapter 3 closes, and chapter 4 verse 1 said, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither." You know what? I might preach on this Sunday, so I don't want to go into it too much, but I believe we're in the last of the last days. The very next thing John saw, he looked up and he heard a trumpet. And he said, "The first voice which I heard." Who are you going to talk to when you get to heaven first? Him. Him. Talking with me, which was a voice, which as it were a trumpet, talking with me. That trumpet. It's what's going to, what I said, the trumpet's out of the case, and God's going to call his children home, and we're going to go and we're going to be with him. That's the point of time which we're in. I hope and pray to God we are within days, hours of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know that it is dark in the world in which we live. My goodness, I've never seen a day as we're living in. I don't think a lot of other people are as well. I know that it's dark and bleak and the outlook is not good and all of those things. But from a Christian's perspective, all those things are good. It wasn't until midnight that the bridegroom came and snatched his bride away in Matthew chapter number 25. We're pretty close to midnight if you ask me. Look over, you're in 2 Corinthians. Turn back probably one page in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. Let's read just a few verses there and I'll close tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 51 through 58. One day we're going to be delivered from the very presence of sin. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 51. The Bible said, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. Praise God. Do you know when Paul was talking over there in Romans chapter 5 and chapter 6, when he cried out and said, "Who shall deliver me from this body of death?" You know what? He was making see what they would do. The Romans, for punishment sometimes, they would take a prisoner, a living man, and they would take a dead man, and they would chain that dead man to that living man and make him drag him around. And that's what Paul's talking about, is that old Roman way of punishing people. To take a dead man, can you imagine that? And chain a dead man to your living body, and you have to drag that stinking, rotten corpse around. Paul said, "Who shall deliver me?" And that's how our old sinful nature and body, it's like dragging around a dead, stinking, rotten corpse. Just weights us down, is on our mind. Can you imagine what an awful thing that would be? But Paul says this corruptible must put on incorruption. We're going to be changed. This fleshly, sinful body is going to be changed. Verse 53, "And this mortal must put on immortality, so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Boy, I like that. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Boy, that's a comfort right there. There's a lot of things you do aren't worth anything. But anything you do for Him, it's not in vain. It's not in vain. Deliverance. So when I say that if you are saved, you are saved, you are being saved, and you are going to be saved, and you can't be any saveder than you are. That's what I'm talking about. Deliverance. That's a good word. I like that. I'm thankful tonight for deliverance. I hope and pray. It's a Wednesday night crowd. Know everybody here. I hope everybody is saved by the grace of God. But if you're not, be a good time to get that way. If the Holy Ghost of God was dealing with your heart, I would grab somebody. I'd come to the preacher or somebody and I'd say, "I'm not saved, I need to be. I want to be." If you are saved, praise God. Somebody said Wednesday night's a shot in the arm. I hope if you didn't get anything else, you get a little shot in the arm. Bring you through the week and help you. That's all I had. I pray the Lord would help me. And I appreciate you coming tonight and hope you get something out of it. Something you can take away. You're saved tonight. Are you happy? Thankful you're saved. You can raise your hand and say, "Preacher, I'm saved. I'm saved. I know I am. Thank God." All right. It's been good to be here.